that's when it hit me. And he said, you know, if you want to live an extraordinary life, you got to be as efficient and as effective as possible during the hours that you work, and at a pre-prescribed time, shut it down and go and live your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what the one thing is all about. The path to getting everything you want isn't by doing everything. It's by looking at all the stuff that's on your plate and imagining them as dominoes. And all you got to do is line them up and understand that the way you knock them all down is by whacking away at the first one first.
Boom, boom, sh, boom, 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 sh, boom.
What's
boom,
up, everybody? Boom, you're boom, listening to the boom, Hustle and Flowchart podcast boom, with your boys, boom, Matt Wolf boom, and Joe Fear. Boom,
boom. Wiki, check wiki, wiki. It.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back.
Man, it's a day. It's a good day. It's a great day.
It's a great day. Today,
yes,
we're talking to Jeff Woods from The One Thing.
Heck yeah. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I seriously, like, I've been... You know that. You know this. We've been buzzing. We just finished the episode. We did our little outro reminder. We have some cool banter at the end of this episode after the meet that we have with Jeff. But yeah, so Jeff is the vice president of The One Thing, the company, the host of The One Thing podcast. And he is an absolutely crucial element to basically that whole thing, The One Thing, like, ecosystem.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy is absolutely amazing. He's, like, literally transformed his life from this person he was before to now how he shows up on this podcast, and he literally tells you the process and how he did that.
Yep.
Super fascinating, and in a lot of other ways that they dig into putting us on the spot, or he does.
Yeah, I mean, he walks Joe through an exercise around figuring out what his one thing should be, so you can follow along to the exercise and do the same thing for yourself. We talk about time blocking. We talk about productivity. He breaks down how billionaires actually schedule their productivity. He talks about how to, like, map out what you're going to do today, what you're going to do this week, what you're going to do this month, what you're going to do this year, what you're going to do over 5 years, right? There's a system, there's a process, there's a framework for all of it. And we cover all of that stuff on this show. And before we get into it, I actually do want to tell you that they're doing a very cool retreat, like a couples retreat thing.
And also an individual
and retreat, an individual one. Separately. So
yeah,
they're doing that. We set up a link over at hustleandflowchart.com/one thing. You can spell it out or put the number one. Both will get you there. Joe and I are going to actually be attending that retreat to help our own business. We think you should attend it as well. So go to hustleandflowchart.com/one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We got notes on this episode.
The notes are going to be a doozy. They will be good. They'll be action guides. So yeah, we basically plucked all the good actionable stuff that Jeff and us we were talking about. So go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp, hustleandflowchart.com/comp, C-U-M-P. 2 weeks of this episode going live. They are free, and you will thank yourself for getting them.
Thank you for thanking me.
And yourself.
And yourself.
Thank you for thanking yourself.
All right. Yeah. One last thing before we jump over to Jeff.
Yes.
This episode is supported by Ahrefs. It is our favorite SEO tool. Mm-hmm. I was in there messing around with it yesterday. I don't know why I'm emphatically shaking my pen around, but that's what I do when I talk
what
sometimes.
What were you doing in there yesterday? I don't have a pen to shake emphatically, but tell us.
One of the things that I do is a lot of times when we have, like, podcast interviews coming up, I will actually plug in the guest name into Ahrefs. Right. And I will see what keywords show up. I will see what things they're ranking for on page one. I will see, like, what images they're ranking for. And it actually helps me pull in a whole bunch of data and intel around our guests before we bring them on. So I actually went on Ahrefs yesterday, typed in Jeff Woods' name, and found a bunch of keywords and things that he talks about.
So what, you find keywords, and what, do those become some speaking points, talking points?
Exactly. Like, if you search his name and you find him on other podcasts, or you find what keywords he's ranking for his own business, that gives you some decent intel into, okay, these are the types of things that he likes to talk about.
I dig. Yeah, it makes our lives easier as interviewers too. So get Ahrefs. It's they have a 7-day trial. It's only $7. So 7 days for $7. Go to ahrefs.com. That's ahrefs.com. That's called Ahrefs. And go sign up. You will love it. They have tutorials and all that good stuff. If you don't know what you're doing, well, they'll get you. So see you there. And let's go chit-chat with Mr. Jeff Woods. All right, Jeff, we're rolling. Finally, how you doing?
I am delightful, Joe. Yourself?
Amazing. I love that answer. It's amazing. It's like, you know, I don't know if you ever listen to Conan Has a Friend or Conan O'Brien's podcast.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you never? He always asks, well, in the very beginning, it's,
How do you feel about being Conan's friend?
How do you feel about being my friend? And itself is interesting, the answers that he hears. So delightful. I love that. So we talked about how Jay is coming on the podcast actually in the future. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the co-authors of The One Thing. And yeah, and you're right there in the company. I mean, you guys are all kind of heading this thing up, it sounds like. But it's great to have you on the podcast. And you're doing a lot of busy things right now, too.
And shout out to Ryan Moran for making the connection. We loved having Ryan on. And he said that you got to have Jeff on. He'd be a perfect fit for your audience. And everybody's going to love him. So shout out to Ryan for making this connection and making this episode happen.
That's right.
Awesome.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, just a little brief little background and, of course, your role at The One Thing and the podcast, of course, and then we'll get into some of these frameworks that you got.
Yeah, sure. So I am a family man with a business, not a businessman with a family.
Good.
And that's a recent transition. You know, I think like a lot of people, who have families would say that they put family first. Yet if we look at their activities, the way that they behave, they don't prioritize it that way. And that was me. So prior to co-founding this company with the co-authors of The One Thing, Gary Keller and Jay Papazian, I was in medical device sales in San Diego, of all places. And I woke up every day. I ran through hospitals. I sold a device that actually saved lives. I tried to get my wife to call me McDreamy. And yes, she is phenomenal at saying no to me. I was where a lot of people either have been or are right now, which is life is good and you're lacking fulfillment. I remember feeling like, gosh, I feel like I'm destined for more. I know I'm meant to do more things, bigger things in this world. I couldn't see what they were. I didn't know. I didn't know how to get there. That created a real tension for me, but not enough pain that it would compel me to really make a change. Two things happened that forced it. First, a colleague of mine had a stroke. At the time, he was 35. I remember standing in my kitchen asking if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what would happen to my family? It was very unsettling. And the next week, my company needed to make a change to my commission structure, and overnight, 40% of my income evaporated. You put those two things back to back, suddenly the pain was elevated. At that time, I was reading a book and I read this quote from Jim Rohn, which is, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You guys ever heard that quote?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a great one.
When I read it, I grabbed a piece of paper and I asked, who are my five? And I wrote the names down. What was interesting was I looked at the list and was really grateful, going, oh my gosh, like look at these amazing friends that I have. And therein lied the gap. I had amazing friends. What I was lacking was amazing mentors. I had always known I wanted to wake up one day owning a business that made a massive impact in the world and delivered real security for my family. The problem was I wasn't in relationship with anybody who had already done that. That sent me on a journey just to upgrade my five. And what's interesting is I started diving into podcasts and going to masterminds and networking meetings. Ryan Moran was one of the podcasts I started listening to. I remember following him going, how the heck is this dude in his late 20s already a multimillionaire? I was surrounding myself with him just by listening to his podcast. Little did I know he'd become a close friend when I moved to Austin.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening was it was our national sales meeting. And when I walked in the room, there was a copy of The One Thing on every chair. And then Jay Papazian, who you're about to have on the show, walked out on stage and he was the keynote speaker. For the next hour, he blew my mind. And the whole time I'm wondering, how do I get him to be one of my five? Which that just, all the limiting beliefs, dude, he's not going to be interested in you. There's nothing you could give him. What could you say to make him interested in you? Like all those things popped up. And when he got off stage, I ran across the room and made sure that I was the first person that got to approach him. And that started a conversation. What I didn't realize was The One Thing had already become one of the highest rated business books of all time. And this created a problem because Gary Keller's One Thing is being chairman and CEO of Keller Williams, largest real estate company in the world. Jay's One Thing, writing books with Gary. They were missing somebody whose One Thing was The One Thing. And that became my opportunity. So I moved to Austin and the three of us co-founded this company. And for the last 5 years, we have been teaching people how to better invest their time and achieve extraordinary results.
Yeah. So your role, what you're the vice president of the company, and then the host of the One Thing podcast as well, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, this is because that book, I mean, the One Thing, I originally read it, I don't know, at least what, 5-6 years ago or so. And I think now it's due for another reread and probably a more consistent read, because it's like an evolution, I feel like.
Oh,
you
know, for
sure. Yeah, you learn it once, and I think like there was a lot of stuff I learned then, but now it's like I'm just gonna see a completely different picture.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you could read a book like that, make a whole bunch of changes, and then sort of over time some of those changes sort of drift a little bit, right? Like some of the changes sort of go back to the way they used to be. The next thing you know, you've sort of stacked your plate again. And then you go back and read a book and you can kind of reset almost.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious, Jeff, about like the, you mentioned tension that you had, you know, when you were more of a, you called yourself a family man, you know, and but like kind of had it a little backwards, at least like this internal struggle, it felt like, because.
Oh, yeah.
I've definitely felt that and still occasionally will feel that, because I feel like I've got work to do and most of us do. I guess describe that and how you worked through that. Yeah, what that transformation looked like a little bit.
Sure. Well, the transformation happened as a result of surrounding myself with the right people, and then being willing to take action. If I'm being honest, I was that person that when I woke up and my alarm went off, the first thing I checked was email. And then while I was getting ready for the day and had the opportunity to be connecting with my wife and my daughter, I wasn't actually present because I was thinking about that email that I saw that I marked as unread. I was like, I'm not dealing with that right now, but then it occupied my mind share. Mm-hmm. Then I worked all day. I got home exhausted from reacting to all the stuff that was going on, but not necessarily doing the things that mattered most, which meant when I was sitting on the couch telling myself I was being present, I was checking email. And I was wondering why my relationship with my wife was getting more distant. I was sacrificing my health because I then had to stay up late to get the things that mattered most done. And then I'm sacrificing sleep. And if you repeat that cycle day after day after day over time, that leads to a life of regret, which is what I learned. And I remember very early on Gary saying that working long hours is cheating. And this shocked me because, like, I'm listening to Gary Vaynerchuk talking about you got to hustle and do all these things. And here's Gary Keller saying it's cheating because you can do the wrong activities. And if you work long enough and hard enough, you can muscle your way to a result, but you cheat yourself out, of what it means to live a life. That's when it hit me. And he said, you know, if you want to live an extraordinary life, you got to be as efficient and as effective as possible during the hours that you work, and at a pre-prescribed time, shut it down and go and live your life. And that's what the One Thing is all about. The path to getting everything you want isn't by doing everything. It's by looking at all the stuff that's on your plate and imagining them as dominoes. And all you got to do is line them up and understand that the way you knock them all down is by whacking away at the first one first. So what changed was I started to get clear that if I am going to be as efficient and as effective as possible during a set number of work hours, I need to be first and foremost clear about what my priorities are. The 20% priorities that'll drive 80% of my results. I need to make sure that's time blocked on my calendar. And when I'm doing the most important thing, it is the most important thing. So I need to give myself permission to say no to everything else that period of time.
That's great, man. And that's so, knowing your priorities, time blocking, and essentially it creates these containers, right, for your mind to live within. I mean, it's containers for anything, but you could choose that for work. So yeah, it can shut it off. You just contain yourself. And it's like that whole, was it Parkinson's law? Is that work, it'll
and the time you allow it.
Exactly. And that is so true for entrepreneurs and probably almost every single person listening right now. It's a struggle, you know, and even if you know, we've all heard time blocking, we've all heard this thing, but it's really like the way you're saying it right here, you're kind of framing the emotion to it, like what a lot of us are experiencing with this transformation, which are the tools, the strategies to get to where you're at now. Maybe is there a good would this be a good time to maybe get into that framework, like a goal setting framework?
Before we do, I want to ask one thing about the One Thing. How you know, this is obviously in the book, but I want to hear, like, from your words and your perspective, like, how does someone sort of narrow in on, like, what their one thing is? How do you narrow in on that 20% that's going to generate the 80% of results?
Sure. Well, the first thing we need to acknowledge is that we all have more than one thing. Hmm. The book is not suggesting to you that you only have one thing or that you only do one thing. We all have more than one, and we're all going to do more than one thing. The question is, are you clear on what that first domino is? The one that matters most first. Mm. And there's a simple exercise that you can do. There on page 114, this is Jay's favorite page of the book. It's called the seven circles. And I'll walk you through them and what they mean. The first circle is your spirituality, because every single one of us is going to wonder why we're here at some point. Mm-hmm. Then we have our physical health, because if you don't have your body, where are you going to live? Hmm. Every single one of us has a personal life. You know, the things that we do, our hobbies that make us the best version of ourselves. Then we have our key relationships, you know, your significant other, kids, friends, family, mentors, colleagues, coaches, customers. Mm-hmm. Then you have your job. Every person who is a working professional has a job. Their role in that business, or my wife's job, is staying at home with the kids, mm-hmm. right? Stay at home mom. That's her job. And then we have our business, and people wrestle with this. If you're a business owner, you have a job in that business, but there's also the one thing for the business overall, and they can be different. And if you're an employee inside a business, your job is your role, yet the one thing for the business overall is that's the one thing for the business. And then we have our finances. So spirituality, physical health, personal life, key relationships, job, business, finances. Those are the seven circles.
Yeah.
Where you start is by identifying one circle to focus on first. And this is hard for people because they tell themselves, I have to do all of them. Or I just feel like there's so many places I need to improve. And the mistake is they try to do them all at the same time. Let's prove to ourselves that we can choose one circle that we want to focus on first before we earn the right to talk about a second circle. So pick a circle that stood out to you guys.
Yeah. For me, I would go relationships.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would say probably health lately.
All right, cool. So let's pick one of them to dissect. What do you want to do?
Let's do relationships since Joe spoke up first.
Sure. Right, cool. Yeah. Good job, Joe. All right, Joe. So when we look at relationships, now it's about asking a series of questions. And you're going to hear me really ask two questions that'll drive 80% of the clarity. And the first question I'll ask is usually when you give me an answer that's a result, because I want to get to an activity, mm-hmm. is what's the one thing you can do to accomplish that? And if you give me an answer that's directionally correct, but it's a little vague, I'll ask you, how will you know if you're successful? Just so that we can tighten it up. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Joe, what's the one thing you can do for your relationships?
Be present.
How will you know if you're successful?
I will know when, like, internally, my wheels aren't spinning about, and for me, it does show up like you were describing with emails, with business, and all of these open loops, and it'll be focused on my baby and my wife.
Great. What's one thing you can do to accomplish that?
Gonna sound like a lot of repeats, but I can time block and actually stop, you know, contain my work time, and then have possibly even other containers. Or baby time and date nights.
So what I'm hearing you say there is you need to be able to shut work down so you can transition into family time.
Correct.
Cool. How will you know if you're successful?
I will know that the business has not skipped a beat, and this could open up. So, you know, revenue stays the same, and I'm fulfilled in work, but also I'm spending more time, equal or more time with the family as I am working.
Mm. So, and this is where the person who's listening is going, wait a minute, it sounds like he's kind of going off around on a tangent. What I heard was that you'd be able to shut work down and transition to family time.
Right.
Right. So what's one thing you can do to accomplish that?
I can be accountable to myself of an ending point for a work, any work-related task for the day, making sure that I keep myself accountable to that time, to that time block, whatever it takes.
And when then would I you show. Have to, when would you have to be done by to feel like you were successful?
Well, I would say, I mean, is it however long it takes for me to, let's say 3 o'clock, 3
you
p.m.
Wanna be done, you want to be done with work by 3?
Yeah, why not?
Dude, I want your job.
Me too.
All right.
I want to be. I'm not going to say yes.
So what's one thing you can do to make sure you're done by 3?
I would say it's time blocking and staying true to the time block, not letting distractions come in, focusing on whatever that thing is, that one thing. Could be, you know, waking up earlier. Waking up earlier and not extending, not working late at night, which I fall into that trap as well.
So for the person who's listening to this, like you kind of give a lot of answers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something with you because what I'm going to do is interrupt your pattern. Because I want you to not feel like you have to have the answer. What I want you to do is to actually to search for the answer.
Oh, okay.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. What's one thing you can do to make sure you're done with work by 3 p.m.?
I could be focused. I could just be right there, be present with work like I would show up for my baby and my wife. And I would have my priorities set from the night before. I would search in the night before and figure out what are the priorities and likely game plan with Matt and make sure those are my KPIs that I should be hitting for my work day and define clear blocks of time for me to execute that work.
So let me ask you again and hear the question. What's the one thing you can do to make sure you're done by 3?
Be done by 3. Just be accountable to myself and step away.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot of people wouldn't have even made it that far, but they're going to get that far and say, that's it. And I'm going to say, you're not going small enough. Because being accountable to yourself means you're relying on discipline and willpower, which are lies of productivity. Hmm. We need to identify an activity that is so small, it is a 2-inch little domino that effortlessly with the flick of a finger, it would fall.
Okay.
What is one thing you can do that if you just did that, it would make shutting it down by 3 easier or unnecessary?
I would put the time block on my calendar. I would actually make that actionable.
Oh, interesting. So you'd actually have something on your calendar that says you need to start shutting it down. How much time do you think you would need to transition so that you're done by 3?
It would be immediate. I would see. Really? It'd be a struggle.
You're in the middle of a customer call and it's 3 o'clock and you go, gotta go, bye-bye.
I wouldn't plan the call for to end that late in the day, I guess. I would pre-plan, and so any calls would be done, let's say, by noon.
All right. So here's what I'm going to say. You reserve the right to make your lead domino at 3, I shut it down. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to step out of coach mode, and I'm going to come into consulting mode now. I'm going to tell you, you will likely fail because you're relying on discipline and willpower to be there. Versus if you just said, you had a 15-minute time block from 2:45 to 3 where it's held and you know that's transition time, where that gives you some grace, where you finish the emails, you wrap up the phone call, you send the text to the team so that just like you get it off your plate so that you by 3, you can actually turn the computer off and walk out your door. So the lead domino could be, when my alarm goes off at 2:45, I will initiate my shutdown process. Mm-hmm. That could be the lead domino.
I follow.
Now the question is, can you go on what we call a 66-day challenge so that you make that transition habitual? Because it takes on average 66 days to form a habit. Mm-hmm. So don't rely on your discipline and willpower. Leverage it so it becomes a habit.
Got it. I think that would work wonders. That transition time. I think
that's what's missing.
Never thought of that. Yeah.
That's what's missing in a COVID world where people are working from home is when they were going to an office, they had a transition time. It's called a commute.
Right. Exactly.
Well, our commute is now stepping outside our office door. Mm-hmm. And people wonder why they're working longer hours or they're struggling to leave work at work. And it's because they have no transition.
Yeah. Yeah. And this allows us to define our space, our time, whatever that looks like with the time blocks, our work time, and transition into, yeah, family time. And I'm assuming, yeah, there's so many people struggling with this mm-hmm. right now in this environment. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Welcome. You didn't see us going, did you?
No, not at all. But I love it. And I know I will definitely, I'm going to go pursue that 66-day.
And it gave anybody listening a nice little framework to follow as well.
Yeah. I hope it helps.
You know, if you go on the website, if you go on theonething.com, mm-hmm. that's with the number one, there's this tab that says free stuff. Such a good tab. There's a 66-day challenge calendar there. And you print that out. It's literally got 66 days on it. And every day that you initiate the shutdown process, you earn an X. And the beauty of this is pretty soon it becomes less about doing that one thing and it becomes more about not breaking the chain. Mm. There's your accountability.
Mm. That is. That'll work. That I could just see me going through the process and 100%. And you're right. I love that you called me out and said I will fail because this is the kind of thing that Matt will do for me. I mean, it's for me, you know, because I've done the whole time blocking thing from previous productivity episodes we've had. Not saying that that's what this is. And yeah, I'll time block the calendar and it'll just like, and Matt's like, whoa, 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 you just engineered something crazy. Well, and like way too structured too. But really, it could be as simple as that transition time to allow for the commitments to actually last.
That's right.
Very cool.
Well, now I think that this is actually a really good transition into the goal setting framework, right? Because we're just talking about the goals that you wanted to have and how do we set up for those goals. So let's start shifting into that goal setting framework and you know how billionaires set goals and that sort of thing.
Sure. So we fundamentally believe that the world doesn't need a new way to set goals. They need a way to have a relationship with them. Now, let me give you an example. Matt, we'll go to you this time. You married?
I am. Yes.
Cool. What's your significant other's name?
Alana.
Alana. Awesome. Mm-hmm. How ridiculous would it have been if you went on that date early on, the one where you really went, whoa, there's something here. Mm-hmm. How crazy would it have been if you looked at her and said, you know, I like you a lot and I could really imagine a future with you. So let's do this. Let's get together in a year and see how it's going.
That would be pretty crazy. I mean, if I was really enjoying the time, I would probably want to do it as frequently as possible.
Right. Here's why we say this. We fundamentally understand what it looks like to have a relationship with another person. You go on dates and in between dates, you communicate and in between communication, you're thinking about them. Like you were constantly in relationship with that person. And when things are going well, you're thinking bigger. And when there's tension, when you start to realize you're off track, you change your activities to get back on track. Mm-hmm. We understand how to have a relationship with another person. We don't know how to have a relationship with our goals. Mm. It's not about setting the goal and putting it on a pretty PowerPoint or framing it or even sitting down and visualizing it. Like that stuff's all good, but that doesn't help you achieve it. The achievement happens in the activity. And what we need is a way to have a relationship with our goals so that every week we sit down and we date them and we really are honest about how are we doing? Are we on track? Were we thinking too small? Should we be thinking bigger? Or have we fallen behind? And what specifically do I need to do this week so that by the end of next week, I know we're back on track. I'm going to feel good about where we're going. That's the foundation of what we do. And when you talk about, you said how billionaires set goals, which this is very catchy, but it's also true. One of our partners is a self-made billionaire. And if you really dissect how he sets his goals, he does not set them looking forward. Because when you ask, what are my goals for this year? And you search for the answers and you come up with the options. things can be attractive in the moment, but actually be a distraction from where you really want to go. It's just like that airplane that's traveling across country that's 5 degrees off course. Like, in a short term, you don't notice a difference, but over a period of time, you end up in an entirely different location. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing here. So what we've learned from Gary is that we need to time travel. We actually need to imagine what we want our life to look like someday from now. Whether for you, that's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, you get to decide. But every year we facilitate a couples goal setting retreat and a retreat for individuals and teams. This year we're doing it virtually, but we literally sit these people down and give them the space to ask, what would an extraordinary life look like someday from now? What does extraordinary spirituality look like? What does extraordinary physical health look like someday? How about my personal life, my key relationships, my job, my business, my finances? When you do you think those are easy answers to come up with, guys?
Not at all. No way.
I'll help you with the hard ones. No, no, that is not easy. It requires that you search. And when you're willing to search, you actually gain direction. And once you have that, you can really narrow it down to, okay, these are all the things I could do, but these are the ones that really matter to me. So if those are the ones that matter, where do I need to be 5 years from now to feel like I'm on track for my someday? Again, big question, requires that you search. But I promise, when you're given the space and when it's facilitated correctly, all of a sudden you have 5-year goals that put you on track for a someday life. And once you have your 5-year goals, you can then ask the question, what do I have to accomplish this next year? And all of a sudden you start to feel your stride. Because this is where we're used to this. And all of a sudden you're going, oh no, this is what I got to do this year to be on track for my 5. And once we do that, we go smaller. Because it's not about the goal, it's about the relationship. What do I have to do this month to be on track for my year? Okay, I can get that. And then we go smaller. So based on that, what do you have to do this week? Specifically, like the top 3 to 5 things that you have to do this week to know for certain you are on track for your someday vision. And then we do something crazy. We make people open up their calendars and time block it. And here's the beauty, like in the couples retreat, you do this with your significant other, who oftentimes is not a goal setter, by the way. So if you're going, yeah, but mine's not, yeah, you're not alone. And it's not about them being a goal setter. It's not about having the same goals. It's about identifying what matters to each person so that you figure out how you can support one another. So you grow together instead of growing apart.
I think, Matt, we should take that couples retreat together.
The couples retreat, yeah.
No joke. Like in the past, we just did a couples goal setting retreat. Yeah. Half the room was couples. The rest of the room was individuals and teams. Like I had we have a lot of business partners that come together because a partnership is an actual relationship. You are a work couple for reals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fight like a couple, you need the alignment. Absolutely.
100%.
This year, we actually have a dedicated weekend for individuals and teams, but you can show up to whichever weekend you want.
I love it. Yeah, we've had that chat. I mean, some people have even said, you know, other partners on our show is like, yeah, we do couples therapy together. I'm like,
that's right.
I see why. it makes perfect sense.
I did not think it was weird at all when our cameras were on that you guys were playing footsie. I thought that
was cool. Well, that's just all the time. So you have I don't want to derail you from the where you're talking about with the retreat though.
Yeah. So here's what matters. No one succeeds alone. So quit trying to. If you are a goal setter, I would ask you, who are the people that are vital to your success? Your significant other, your business partner, key people of your team, any friends, like who are the people that really like you need them in your life for you to do life? And then ask the honest question, when I set my goals, are they involved? And if not, you just have to understand you're lowering what's possible for that relationship.
This is big. I could see this. I'm thinking of it both, you know, personal relationship, let's call it a spouse, but also to a business relationship, even with a team and the current scenarios the world's in, you know, working remote. I see a lot of folks working in silos and not you know, having the experience of working virtually with a team, if at all, reaching out. What would you say to that? Are there any tips that we can talk about here?
Well, and here's what's beautiful is that the principles we use in this retreat are the principles that we use in business. We just applied them to personal lives. So when we advise companies, well, I don't care if you've got 5 employees or literally some of our clients have 500,000, the models are the same. And it's the same models you learn in this retreat that we're facilitating. How do you, you're missing 2 things. It's clarity, or 3 things. It's clarity, it's alignment, and it's accountability. Clarity. What are our priorities? Like literally, if I made you write them down on a napkin and had your colleague write them down on a napkin, would I get the same answers? Mm-hmm. Most often, no. People aren't really clear on what the priorities are for the team or the company. And if you don't know where you're going, it's really tough to understand how what you do this week matters. Mm-hmm. And especially in a virtual world when you can't just walk over and say, hey, do you got a minute? That struggles. So that's the clarity. And then the alignment part is that distance. How do I know that you're doing the right thing and I'm doing the right thing if we can't physically be together? And then there's the accountability. If we're not clear on where we're going and we're not actually feeling aligned, how the heck can we hold each other accountable to delivering the highest results? It just all falls apart. But when you follow the models that are in here of setting the goals, and then we have the framework for how you actually break it down to what you need to do on a weekly basis. One of them is called a GPS. That's a business plan. And one of them is called a 411. That's a tool that gives every individual clarity on their priorities. When you leverage these things, all of a sudden, all those things, boom, airtight, super aligned.
Yeah. No, I love that, because without those, yeah, you can have meetings all day long. You'd have your check-ins and all that stuff. But a lot of folks aren't getting to just as simple as the clarity, the priorities. You know, for Matt and I, that's typically each week, every Monday, we have kind of a priority call that we do. And before we had that, yeah, it would just be, oh, what are we working on this week? Or not even that, actually. It would just be a task list, or like, oh, here's a project that we think is important.
Yeah. And I mean, even to this day, like a lot of our stuff, like we'll have our Monday sort of meeting, let's set priorities for the week, but then that's about as granular as we get with it. Okay, right. These are the priorities. Come Friday, a lot of times we're like, okay, how do we do on our priority list this week? Yeah, we got 75% of it done, right? So like, we're not even really that granular still. We just kind of have a check-in once a week right now.
And here's the thing, that's it's set in, hear this from you guys. There's no judgment in this. This is what the majority of people operate. This is the value of surrounding yourself with the right people. Like, I literally have just learned how Gary manages time. It's the billionaire's time management system, and it's goal setting to the now. It's starting way out and reverse engineering it. But when I have like my 411, it shows me these are my core priorities for the year, personally and professionally. And in order to achieve that, these are specifically the top 3 to 5 things. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I must get done this month. And if that's the case, here's the 3 to 5 things that no ifs, no ands, no buts, I must get done this week. And the thing is, if I get to the end of the week and I only got 75% of them done, I don't get to just say, I'll do better next week. I have to move the deficit forward. I deeply understand how by not knocking that priority out, I am now playing from behind. Which, if we use sports as an analogy, would you rather play with a lead or play from behind?
Oh, it's with the lead.
Yep.
Yeah. The lead. Yep. And by the way, there are some people listening who are going to say from behind. And what they're really saying is they like a deadline. Because if you're playing from behind, you know by the end of the game, boom, you got to do it. But when you do a 4-1-1, your deadline is every Friday. By the end of the week, I must have these things done. And you sprint to get it done because you understand deeply the consequence if you don't. And it also makes it a lot easier that, you know, Joe, if you're clear that these are my priorities for this week, and all of a sudden Matt's calling you and saying, hey, dude, I need your help on something. And you check your 411 first. And all of a sudden something happens. You invent a common language. A language of focus and trust. And here's what it sounds like. Dude, I'd love to help you. Here's what's on my 411 for the rest of this week. If I say yes to what you're asking, here's what I'm going to have to say no to. What do you think I should do here? And what do you think he's going to do in that moment?
Going to respect me and my 411. He's gonna figure out some solution, or we'll probably go next week.
This solves the interdependencies inside of organizations, because most often when somebody's asking somebody else to do something, they have zero optics or regard for what they're currently saying yes to. This facilitates the conversation. So the person, even if it's a direct report, can say to their boss, I'm hearing you say I need help with this. Here's what's on my 411. If I say yes to this, here's what I'm saying no to. How do you feel about that? And more often than not, the person goes, actually keep doing what you're doing. Thanks.
It feels like this always brings a deeper meaning to a task, whatever a task is. It could be anything, just writing an email, answering a phone call, whatever. It sounds like it's all rooted back to the circles that are on page 114 of the one thing. Would that be correct? Makes it a little bit more stantive.
I'm going to offer different language.
Please.
It turns arbitrary tasks into focused priorities. I've got a lot of tasks on my list, but that's the 80% that only generates 20% of my results. But I am really clear on what my priorities are. The handful of things that if I do those consistently, unlock the majority of my results. And I have over the years developed habits and systems so that if you were to look at my calendar, you would actually see the majority of my time being invested in the 20% and not spent in the 80%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I imagine this really would like help you better analyze what the sort of best things to be doing this week are as well, you know, because if when Joe and I, like I mentioned, when we get on these like Monday calls and we sort of plan out, here's what we think we should do this week, we very rarely actually put like very specific, tangible things. Like a lot of the things don't have like a real defined done point. It's just like, hey, here's some of the things I'm working on. Where with what you're saying is it sounds like we'll have much better of a definition of done, because you know we're now setting up these priorities and we have to know if we've completed them, so we're going to get real smart, a lot more smarter with the exact like things that we say we're going to do this week.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It puts a nice container on everything. It's not this because us entrepreneurs we're so damn crafty, and I feel like we're so good at stacking and more and more and more adding, oh, I could do this, solving problems, that it that's what leads, I'm imagining, to an endless to-do list that a lot of folks kind of walk around, not only on their computer and their notepad, but in their brains.
In a to-do list, the problem with those is that you look at the list and think you have to get it all done,
right?
Mm-hmm. And this falls trapped to the number one lie of productivity, which is the lie that everything matters equally. It doesn't. Everything that's on your plate is not of equal importance. And you got to be able to look at all the things you could do, which is the to-do list, and be able to separate the coulds from the shoulds. The shoulds are the 20%ers that drive 80% of your results. And when you're clear on the 20%, you need to list them in order of priority. If I could only do one, which is it? And should I earn the right to do a second, which is it? And should I earn the right to do a third, which is it? Can I tell you guys a cool story about this? First time?
Yeah, please.
Oh gosh, this is so good. My first 90 days, when we onboard somebody, we take them through what's called a 30-60-90. They have 30, 60, 90 days to prove they can deliver their 20% at a high level or they are fired. I kid you not. And when we say the 20%, I mean, what are the 2 to 3 things you have to do exceptionally well for your job or you're fired?
Wow.
Not what are all the things you got to do. What are the 2 to 3 things you have to do exceptionally well? Or you're fired. Yeah, how's that for focus?
That's all of a focus, yeah.
So when I moved to Austin, I was given my 3 things. I had to cast a vision for the business, I had to drive revenue, and I had to recruit talent. We start with vision. They were measuring me by my ability to create a business plan that Gary and Jay would sign off on. Now let's give some context here. I'm fresh out of scrubs. I've never run a company and I've got to get a billionaire to sign off on my business plan. Intimidation is an understatement. I remember walking into the boardroom and I handed each of them a copy of my GPS. That is what we call a one-page business plan. Literally, it fit on one side of one page. The G stands for the goal. The P were the top priorities, and the S were the supporting strategies, GPS. And just like the GPS on your phone, it tells you exactly where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. Mm-hmm. We started talking about priority number one. Gary and Jay asked a bunch of questions. I remember answering and be like, yeah, I got this. And I went, are you good? They're like, yeah. And I started talking about priority number two. Halfway through number two, Matt, Gary started asking questions about number one. I remember not thinking anything of it other than, oh, he must have forgotten. Yeah, sure. I answered the questions, asked if we were good, and he said yes. I wrapped up number two and started talking about number three, and it was in that moment, Joe, that he started asking more questions about number one. You ever seen Meet the Parents?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know the Circle of Trust?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in it.
Doesn't feel good, huh?
No, it doesn't. Why did he keep going back to number one? I was like, what's going on here? I did the best I could. I answered the questions, asked if we were good. He said, yes. I was talking about number three for about 10 seconds, and then Gary stopped me a final time, and he asked, Jeff, do you need to do number three in order to do number two? I said, no. He asked, do you need to do number two in order to do number one? I said, no. And he said, well, do me a favor. Draw a line between number one and number two. And he waited. I drew the line. And then he went, you know what? Even better. Rip the page in half. Guys, I kid you not. He waited while I took my business plan and ripped it in half. And then he said something that changed the way I view time. He said, don't even think about number two or number three until you've earned the right to by mastering number one. Where this came from was there's a piece of paper on his office, just normal printer paper that he took a Sharpie and wrote, until my one thing is done, everything else is a distraction. And it's been on his desk for over a decade to remind him that everything does not matter equally. And it was in that moment that I realized my entire life, and this is what I see so many entrepreneurs doing, is they look at all the stuff that's on their plate, and because they can work hard, because they can hustle, because they take action, they'd go and try to do it all. But it's like swimming a foot in one direction and then course correcting and shift and swimming a foot in another direction and then pivoting and swimming in another direction. And if all you do is swim a foot in one direction and then turn in another direction, mm-hmm. then turn, then another direction and turn, you end up going nowhere and you end up drowning versus picking a direction and narrowing your focus and swimming like your life depends on it. That's what I started doing. And that's when I became a family man with a business and not a businessman with a family. Mm.
Jeff, this is hitting me. This is good. And I'm imagining with you even, you know, needing to tear the page in front of Gary there, like it's almost like anchoring, like, okay, physically, like, I cannot do anything else other than this one damn thing. This is all I get.
It's this sound for the rest of my life. Ready?
Love it. That was not a sound effect. That was real. I'm imagining.
Sound of focus.
And this, it, because I know, like, this is one of the battles that I'm facing. I mean, I'm sure it's so common that.
Dude, everybody.
It's crazy, like, how, like, the analogies you're saying and the frameworks that have been proven that you guys live by. Yeah, it's just so. They just seem so obvious. And I mean, the title of the book's The One Thing.
But the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, the title says it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that, I mean, it is and it's not, but like, I really hope that this opens the eye. I know it's opening my eyes already, and there's just so many other little bits and bobs on this note sheet that I have, like, just like the habits, like, for instance, like, just like, I'm curious about you said 60 days, 66 days to a habit. Are there any on average? Yes. What are some frameworks that we can, you know, do approach habits in the right way? Because I know you said everything comes down to like habits and systems, and then that's your focus priorities.
Yeah. It's a saying that I'll that just applies and is so true to the brand. It's think big, go small, trust the dominoes will fall. Mm. Like for you, think big. I want to be present with the people that matter most, but go small. When I hear my alarm, I will start shutting it down. Right? And trusting that if day after day after day, when you hear that alarm, that you will go, okay, I got 15 minutes. Let's start wrapping it up. Let me finish this email. Let me just finish up this call. Let me just send the closing out, whatever, to the team on Slack, like whatever that looks like. And trusting that if you did that day after day after day after day over time, that you would make the adjustments so that you become the type of person who habitually is done by three. Because if you were done by three, really done, it would make you more likely to be present with your wife, with your kids, which would truly allow you to live a very rich life.
Committed. I'm going to do it.
That's amazing.
Thank you, Jeff.
This has been awesome. We want to be respectful of your time and you know, we've got a few minutes left here. So let's chat real quick about where people can go learn more from you, work with you. I know you've got these summits, you've got the One Thing podcast, you've got the website. Where should people go after listening to this episode?
Here's what I would say. If you're having the mind explosion that I'm hearing Joe have, the hands down, one of the best things we do is the goal setting retreats we facilitate. This year, November 14th and 15th is the One Thing Couples Goal Setting Retreat. November 21st and 22nd is the One Thing Goal Setting Retreat for individuals and teams. This year, it is 100% virtual. So, I mean, the two of you can throw on your snuggies and play footsie and it'll be awesome.
Perfect. Right? That's just every Saturday. That's gonna work great for
you guys. You can go to theonething.com/setmygoals to learn more. And that's with the number one. So the, and then number one, theonething.com/setmygoals. And if you're already listening to a podcast, if you want to subscribe to the One Thing podcast, click search, type in The One Thing. That's all spelled out. The O-N-E-T-H-I-N-G. And, you can follow us there.
Rad. All right. So everyone go there. We will link everything up in the show notes, of course, like as always. So it's super simple. Jeff, this is absolutely amazing. And yes, my mind has exploded many times on this podcast. Yeah. So.
Made a mess in my office.
I'm sorry. It's been amazing. I can't wait to talk to Jay now. Yeah, pretty soon here. So, we'll figure out some other veins to go down with him. So I appreciate your time very much. And awesome. We will chat soon, I hope.
It's a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. So what'd you think of that episode with Jeff?
Yeah, not impactful at all. Just kidding. explosions left and right.
It was funny because right after we turned off the recording on that one, Joe was like, yeah, I had like this takeaway and this takeaway. And then he's like, wait a second. I need to save this for our outro.
Oh, yeah. You and I were chatting. That's right. Yeah. And I was like, well, hold on. This should be our banter section.
Yeah. This should be the outro banter.
Banter. Yes. So this is officially the banter now.
Joe's favorite word.
It's just funny. I like it though. Jeff, I mean, I just like this approach. That's what I was saying. I was like, I respect the way that he, it's just a different type of episode. I love it when it's like an interactive like this.
Yeah.
You know, he walked us through a couple of different scenarios and I felt like they were both very impactful and ones that we could both use.
Well, like when he does those exercises and then he uses like, you know, one of us as an example, which we've done on past episodes before, it sort of gives the listener like a very sort of tangible, okay, like, he's explaining this process, but I understand it philosophically, but what does this process look like?
Right.
But by actually like walking you through the process, he now gave everybody who's listening something that they can emulate and go and do themselves and walk themselves through the same process and, you know, continually ask why and go deeper.
And hopefully it gives some folks some grace that your first answer is definitely not going to be the best or probably right or correct or get you to your one thing or whatever that thing, the domino that's going to make everything else fall.
Yeah.
Because like I felt like I was struggling a little bit there, but you know, it's also, I think that was my process of, you know, the conditioning, the layers of the ways I do approach my priorities and my days. And you have a guy like Jeff over here that is seeing it from the one thing perspective.
Yeah.
You know, thinking small, which I love that. It's like, go small. Whereas like really the thinking and the way I think it was like, let's go bigger, you know? And he identified as like, you need that transition time locked on your calendar, 15 minute increment, or, you know, that 15 minute duration leading up to done time for work. And no kidding, like I was like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's like just that one little block of time. And actually, after the episode, after we stopped recording, he even talked about it. He's like, Joe, I honestly think this will, that one practice of, and you know, he said average of 66 days. Well, he was actually saying, you know, there's certain things, like things that he was working on that he's done for over 200 days to really make that a habitual thing. And he basically challenged me. He's like, if you did this for a year, this will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like just that one thing of marking on the calendar and having a definition of done, like you were like this, Matt and I have talked about this so many times.
And
I said 3 o'clock. I think that what that stemmed from was actually thinking of back to Mark's at Costa Rubio when we were getting consulted from him. He was like, okay, be done by around that time, I think it was what he was saying. And then like, go live your life, go have fun, go do whatever you gotta do.
I think for me, 3 o'clock's too early because I know like where I get into flow tends to be more afternoon than morning. I'm not a morning person. I usually, if I am going to procrastinate, which never, ever, ever happens, I never procrastinate.
You're a robot.
But if I was to procrastinate, that procrastination usually happens in the first half of the day prior to noon. And then afternoon is when my brain's just like, all right, let's, you know, you've messed around long enough, let's get going.
And I definitely do. I'm wired differently than that.
Yeah.
For sure. I am way more productive in the morning. Way more. And I'm more motivated, I feel like, too.
Yeah.
So that's something, I don't know how to approach that, actually, Jeff. because there are things, like we have calls scheduled at 4, for instance, occasionally. And obviously the other call, and
yeah, well, I think it just kind of comes down to like giving yourself some grace on it. And like, you know, the thing that you fleshed out on this episode with him may not be the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like this was just an example. Mm-hmm. Like you were put on the spot. There's probably a little bit of like, okay, what answer is he looking for from me? You know, so there is those elements that were in, it's sort of a higher pressure situation to let's keep this conversation flowing. If we were to do this in real life, in real time, you're probably not going to try to think of an answer within 5 seconds so that you can keep the flow of the conversation going. You're going to spend a little more time, you know, really analyzing it.
Yeah.
But because of this format, you kind of felt the sort of urge to like respond quickly. So what you fleshed out on this episode may not be the thing.
Right. Well, I think definitely an ending point for me is a thing. I think the time thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like in all realistic and in really probably for what I would want anyway, that would make this thing not so of a rigid thing. Mm-hmm. Cause yeah, that's what I'm practicing for myself is like not be so damn hard on myself on certain things like this. Yeah.
Well, it could even just like be
5 o'clock.
Let's just take it even more granular, right? Maybe the thing is every day I'm going to know my stop time and I'm going to set an alarm 15 minutes before that stop time, right? Take out the 3 o'clock element of it.
Right.
Like the one thing,
a buffer time, right?
Yeah. The one thing is I'm going to start deciding when my day is going to end and put that buffer there. So that's even tighter and a smaller thing than what he suggested. But he said, think smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Good point. The smaller thing is on the days where you have 4 o'clock calls, okay, I'm going to set in a 15 minute alarm at maybe 4:30 and it'll help you get off the calls quicker so you don't end up on a call for an hour that when it only needs 30 minutes, you know?
I like it. Yeah, no, it is thinking smaller and that does allow a little bit less rigidity because let's be honest, like our lives aren't going to and see, this is good because this is where my brain will default. I'm like, okay, I want this structure. I know I could do this. But then like, oh, what if there's a random, like what if the whoever, like someone wanted to schedule a call at 4:30, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Or maybe we have to do a podcast because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
You know, if someone reschedules or someone in Australia, we're like, oh my God, we really want them on the podcast.
Yeah, we got to do it later sometimes.
Yeah. But having a shutdown time, whatever that looks like, I mean, that could go into like a weekly check-in. Like, let's look at the calendar. When are my shutdown times for that week?
Yeah.
And just make that a habit at like once a week at the beginning of the week. It's like, all right, cool. Well, that's why I'm shutting her down.
Yeah.
And like that. That's good feedback.
And I mean, just like bringing this all into like the big picture of, you know, what we've talked a lot about lately, about sort of being more defined with who we're talking to and the stuff we're talking about. Like, I kind of want to touch on like, how is this relevant, right? How is this relevant to the people that are focused on building an audience, the affiliate marketers, the monetizers, the sort of core group that we said, this is who we're kind of talking to now. Well, I mean, getting this stuff figured out is literally putting the bumpers, putting the structure, putting the container on your day. If you're trying to build an audience, you're trying to be an influencer, you're trying to be an affiliate marketer, you're trying to drive traffic, any of those kinds of things, you still need to do it within sort of constraints. You still need to figure out like, like as an affiliate marketer, somebody that works from home, maybe you create content, you drive traffic, you promote affiliate products, and that's like your whole life. It's very easy to sit down at your computer and do that for 18 hours a day and just constantly be plugging away.
Sure.
Processes like this and what we just talked through, like this puts containers around that. And I think everybody needs to have these containers if they want to be successful.
Dude, it just makes your success more successful. I mean, if you think about it, like wherever you're at right now, you're just going to get better.
Yeah.
And I know for me, the way it showed up is like when there's more opportunities, when we're doing more cool things and things we're excited about and want to go and try this new strategy or this tactic or whatever, that's where the late nights can happen.
Yeah.
That's where this kind of open loop thing happens where I'm like, oh, wow, but I told myself I wanted to do this and then that thing and then that thing. And it's like,
there's a key thing here, too, that he said about all tasks aren't created equal. Sure. I don't know if those are the exact words he said, but like every task isn't equal to every other task. And I think this is speaking for both of us. What I think we both tend to do is almost treat every task that we put on our task list as sort of an equal priority level.
Yeah.
And then we sort of get bent out of shape if we didn't finish specific tasks, even though the tasks that we didn't finish, they weren't a priority enough to prioritize them early in our day. So were they really that big of a priority?
We're really good at being accountable to each other now. Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't always been that way.
Yeah.
But I feel like that has been something that's developed over the years. And now more than ever, like the important shit will get done.
Yeah.
But like, as you just said, we don't have a priority for all of those. Like even like the most minor thing, like will sometimes be spinning in my brain or will be something that might be in your brain that you might check in with me on or me with you.
Yeah.
And where it's like, was that thing really like going back to those circles that Gary talked about?
Yeah.
You know, like he's like, does that align to like what actually stands for, like what they stand for, what you stand for, the company?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, just like a real dumb example was like a couple days ago on my task list, one of the things I wanted to do was get a new YouTube header ordered, right? I wanted to go to our designer and say, hey, can you make a new YouTube banner? And I didn't do it within like before like 5 o'clock, and then I left and went away for dinner or whatever. And then after I put the kids down to bed, it was like 8 p.m and I'm like, oh, I still got a couple tasks on my task list, better get this banner ordered up now, better. And it's like, would have our business been any better off by me ordering the banner at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night versus 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning? Would it have made a damn bit of difference?
Yeah,
it did in my brain because it was on my task list for the day.
Yeah, and that's what Jeff was like even saying with the open email or looking at emails in the morning. It creates this open loop.
Yeah.
And then now in that scenario is you, but like on someone, you know, the email scenario, now that's someone else's agenda and their priorities pressed upon you.
Yeah.
And like, think about what that happens, especially if you're looking at it right in the morning when you wake up. You're like, woo, now your whole day has been set on someone else's priorities.
Yep.
And that's how you have to somehow navigate your personal life with that thing spinning around. Even though we tell ourselves that thing's not important.
Yep.
BS, that thing's in your subconscious and it's like, it's doing something to you.
Yep. I think this is really going to sort of like transition our Monday calls when we're like, all right, how are we planning out the week? Okay. We'll probably start to analyze, is that really that important? Is
clarity,
that
clarity?
Like, right? If this is the one thing you did all week for our business, is it the one thing that you would feel would move the needle the most, right? And I think we would have, we're going to start to have a lot of those kinds of discussions, like analyzing the things that we're doing, are they the things that are going to move the needle the most?
Yeah.
You know, if not, let's cut them out. Let's delegate them. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, make it somebody else's one thing, as Jeff would say.
Yeah. And a big aha that I had, I think it was after we're already going over 10 minutes. Wow. That time went by.
Yeah.
Our bantering. Well, I guess this is the last thing I have is the domino thing. Like that whole analogy, really uh-huh. Jeff's analogies have helped me a lot. But specifically when he was kind of putting me on the spot a little bit, I wasn't thinking the one thing as like that one little tiny thing that you can push, that little domino that sets everything else in motion.
Mm-hmm.
That was my aha moment, is like, okay, well, to get momentum and to really get further ahead, which I've kind of been thinking about this recently, but it hasn't been framed as simple as what he said, is like, just figure out that one tiny, 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 tiny little thing. And for me, maybe it's transition time and maybe it's being a little flexible and figuring out that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, think how that's now going to show up and force me to be more prioritizing my tasks and family and all that other stuff. But yeah, it's like that reframe of what's that tiny little domino.
Yep. I love it. It was a good episode.
Yes.
Definitely check out the summit they have coming up. There's details over at hustleandflowchart.com/one thing. Mm-hmm. You can type the number or the word. They'll both get you there. So hustleandflowchart.com/one thing. We're going to be at that retreat.
We will.
We're going to go through couples retreat together and see if we can rekindle that fire that we once had on our honeymoon.
Wow. Where was our honeymoon?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I forgot.
You're blacked out.
Honeymoon ended long ago, Gio. No. Definitely go check that out. And then also, Easy Webinar. Yes. Amazing, amazing tool. We've used it in the past a lot for webinars. Our good buddy Casey Zeman put it out. They're constantly evolving it. It does live webinars, automated webinars, hybrid webinars, all the types of webinars. You can do it with Easy Webinar. And it's a great just sort of all-in-one platform. If you don't know if you're going to do live or automated or you haven't decided yet, get Easy Webinar because
they handle it.
They'll do it, right? Yeah. And so over at easywebinar.com/hustle, they set up a special coupon code. There's, I think, 25% off annual, 20% off if you're going to go monthly. Casey's hooking you up because you're a Hustle and Flowchart listener. So
bam. Lucky you.
Check that out.
Yeah. And then lastly, if you love this episode or anything else, just tell your friends, tell your family, share it around, go subscribe, all that fun stuff.
Yes. Help us get it in front of more people. That would be amazing.
Spread the word. All right. Thank you for listening very much. And we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.